I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am so excited to have my next guest here. We have Kim Walls, who is the co-founder and CEO of Fortuna Skin. And if you do not know what Fortuna Skin is, you are going to be in for a super pleasant surprise to learn all about the backstory. And they are absolutely incredible products that you actually have to get your hands on. So again, Kim Walls is the co-founder and CEO. Few people can truly say that their craft runs in their blood, but for Kim Walls, co-founder and CEO of Fortuna Skin, this certainly is the case. I was really, really excited to hear all of that story, and I can't wait to get more into that. But she's actually co-founded this company with Agatha Rolato Luzzo as well, and you should definitely look at her bio. Very, very interesting. So they partnered together, entirely vertical supply chain coupled with wild foraging ingredients from Agatha's estate in Sicily. Hopefully I have that correct. Very, very cool. Elements plus unique extraction practices with powerful blends create a beautiful range of products that tackle multiple skincare concerns for all. So like I said, I cannot wait to get into the backstory here. So without further ado, welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, totally. Really, really excited. So I'd love to hear the backstory. Like, what was the main inspiration for Fortuna Skin and how did it all get started?
Huge question. The main inspiration there, and there are many ways to answer it, really, because it was a kaleidoscope of inspiration and ideas coming together, not only individually from Agatha and from me, but as we merged our visions, it just kept getting bigger. So you could say that the gracious olive is a source of inspiration because that olive oil is connected to everything we do, and it's connected to the legacy and history and heritage of the brand and connected to our individual experiences. So you could just say the olive is one source. Another would be the whole idea of regenerative beauty. And personally, from my career, having seen all the different ways that beauty brands can come to life and the different messages they can hold and the types of products and all of these things, my whole life I've had an idea, I guess you could call it a vision or just a wish, that we could address whole body health through skincare. And I've seen it happen many, many times, and how transformative to people's lives skin care can be, especially somebody who might be suffering from, call it acne or eczema or some of these different issues. The farm, that estate in Sicily, that 800 acres of, it's a magical place with plants that have incredible potency. And we've been able to transform those into finished goods that create amazing results for people's skin. So seeing the farm, walking through the land, looking at those plants, feeling the energy of that space and understanding the power and the resource of the land itself and what was happening there in the space of regenerative beauty and agriculture, that was personally an explosive moment for me, standing in the middle of this space and being surrounded by these plants. So many triggers, many sources of inspiration. And I think probably the truest answer is that I, like most people in this world of entrepreneurialism, I'm inspired every day in different ways.
How did you and Agatha connect? Did you know each other?
We didn't. We were introduced by her pediatrician, Dr. Alan Green. He had been the medical director of a brand I founded previously and had since sold. And I'd been working in the makeup industry, helping another entrepreneur grow her business. And when Agatha was talking with Dr. Green, who's the pediatrician of her children, talking about her estate and the incredible olive oil they had there and saying, we really need to make an oil for skin out of this olive oil. And he was like, oh, Agatha, if you want to make skincare, you need to meet my friend Kim. And he set up a phone call, and it was just absolutely fantastic conversation out of the gate, completely aligned visions, ideas, level of energy and enthusiasm for what we could do. You could say we founded the brand the day we met.
Wow, that's wild. I'm dying to go to this farm in Sicily. I was doing the research on it, it looks amazing. Yeah. I mean, it looks absolutely incredible. So when you think about, you know, the backstory, I mean, it's very different than what your father was doing. It was similar and it's different, right? I mean, you obviously grew up. So your father had founded an amazing brand as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and the inspiration you got just from being around him?
Yeah, absolutely. So his name was Robert Hyman, and he founded a brand called Epicurin out of a personal need. He had a skin disease called vitiligo, and before that had been in agricultural engineering was his education, and working in construction doing specialty coatings. And then this disease started emerging. And what happens with vitiligo is that the melanocytes don't produce melanin. And so you end up with white patches starting on your joints and kind of moving throughout the body. And he wanted to stop it. So there's a long story, a long founding story there, but essentially with no experience in skincare, just a drive and a desire to do something different to help improve his health, he started that brand, worked out of the garage. I mean, I was the sticker girl, right? I'd put labels on the eye creams and the anything round he would have me do, because he said I had an incredible attention for detail and I would actually get them right in the middle.
I love it.
And over the years, he really ended up being kind of that. It's a really classic entrepreneurial story where somebody from the outside sees things differently. And so he would read all of this research about things like probiotics and colostrum. And you know, he introduced many of these ingredients into the industry for the first time because he would see what they were doing in areas of healthcare and wellness and then think, well, how could we apply that into skincare? And the people who were already within skincare just had blinders on to some of these things. So a lot of innovation and really an approach to innovation that was just about being open-minded, being open to, in fact, he even created something called SEIO, which stands for sense, inspiration, openness, and essence. Appreciation, inspiration, openness, and essence. And it fundamentally was about what can come to you from the world and how can you harness it? Just an incredibly inspiring person. So I got to grow up seeing him function and admiring his work and watching how when you put one foot in front of the other, you eventually go somewhere, and maybe sometimes you get knocked over, but you get back up and you keep going. Yeah. It was an incredible example.
Well, I think also my father was an entrepreneur as well. He had working inside of a large company, but I think he was a frustrated entrepreneur working inside of a large company. He had founded a brand called Healthy Choice. And so I never thought I was going to go into the food industry. And in some ways, I guess I am and I'm not in the food industry being a hint. But I'm so curious, did you always think that you were going to become an entrepreneur?
I don't think I had to think it because I just always was. I mean, if I wanted something, I was just going to make it happen. There wasn't really a choice there. And when it comes to skincare, I was especially inspired by the healthcare aspect. And I think it helped that my dad came in with a disease essentially and ended up working with doctors. And after school, I studied biochemistry, nutrition, skincare, became an esthetician, and started really having the chance to observe how those areas of health and wellness could come together and shift somebody's absolute level of vitality and longevity, and implementing what I was learning into medical practices, working with doctors, working in NICUs to try to help shift the way people think about health into a holistic, treat the whole ecosystem. You can't tackle the skin, for example, as the surface of the body. It's completely integral and integrated into our entire health system. And that's the philosophy that is fueling Friction to Skin and our entire approach to how we are trying to help people treat their overall vitality and really improve longevity at the end of the day, quality of life.
I love that you only have a few products as well.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, gone are the days where people are feeling like they have to launch with lots of SKUs in any industry, frankly. I think that people are back to kind of simplicity. That's what I'm seeing. We've had some various brands on our podcast where they definitely believe that. But I love that story about you all. And obviously, you've been in the industry for a long time. What was the first product that you developed?
The very first product we developed was our biphase oil. They were kind of co-development, really, biphase oil and face and eye serum. We never had the approach that one product can do it all. Really because of that, my background with dermatology and estheticians is you've got fundamentally the skin has needs. Some of them are oil, some of them are water, some of them are microbiome related. Like again, like really starting from the beginning for what's that ecosystem and how do we give the skin the building blocks that will make sense to it, that are bioavailable, all those sort of aspects. So we came out of the gate with a complete system. And it's a very concise system. It's modular. You can include other products and from other brands if you want. It's that foundation. It's that these are the healthy building blocks that will put skin in the, so it can put its best foot forward and recover and heal in the way that it knows how. So while we did have a first product, it was always part of our plan to come out with a complete system as quickly as we could. And that today is what we have.
Hear that? You should know what that sound means already. That's the best kind of notification. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify and the moment another business dream becomes a reality. Shopify makes it simple for you to sell to anyone, anywhere. It's the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling Hint water or vintage teas, Shopify makes it simple. You know what else Shopify is great for? Helping businesses connect with their consumers. They power millions of businesses from first scale to full scale by helping them set up their online store in the vibe you want. But they also help you to get traction, gain new consumers, and get the data you need to operate your business in a simple and fast way. And with Shopify, you can synchronize your online and in-person sales and view all your sales metrics in one place. Reaching more customers through social platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram through Shopify's growing suite of social media channel integrations is a breeze. Shopify has all the sales channels sorted so your business keeps growing from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform. And if you're looking for a solution that has great customer service support, Shopify has that too. Their team is always super helpful answering any questions that I have had growing my business. Their team really makes you feel like they have your success in mind. Join me and millions of other businesses on Shopify today and take your business to the next level. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kara. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kara. to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/Kara. So what product is kind of the sleeper hit, I like to think of it as?
Oh, that okay.
Maybe not your bestseller, but I think every founder has that product where maybe the word hasn't gotten out about it, but you think it should be much bigger, and why?
Yeah, it's well, there are two. Replenishing Balm was that for me from the very beginning, but it's actually now taken footholds. So the one right now would be our micellar essence. That product is extraordinary. A lot of people, especially in our country, don't know really what micellar is, how they cleanse, what they do. So it kind of doesn't make sense to some, to a lot of people in this country about how they work functionally to clean. But that is, all of our products are multi-beneficial. Every single one of them hits on lots of areas to improve the health of skin. But that micellar essence is really, it's very special and it's really unusual. And anybody who has any kind of skin sensitivity, dryness issues, it's a beautiful light cleanse and makeup remover that infuses the skin with moisture and antioxidant potential and allows for, it's, in fact, one of my, one of the estheticians who we work with quite a lot is a man named Ivan Pohl, who has the Beauty Sandwich on Instagram. He calls it the gentle giant of cleansers. I think that's a really good description of it. Yeah.
I love it. And that's your newest one, right?
It's actually not. It was one of the core originals. We are launching a new product in March, which I am over the moon for, which is also a cleanser, but a very different type of cleanser. Do you want me to tell you about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Okay. Like, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, many differences between the two. So that one in particular is, it's a triple technology, a triple texture technology, that where it starts as a balm, transforms into oil on the skin, and then you add a little bit of water and it turns into a milky lather. So it rinses off without any residue. So this is, it's a very gentle and deep cleanse that you use with massage techniques, and lifts the skin, lifts all of the debris out of the skin, helps combat environmental aggressors, whether they're biological, intrinsic or extrinsic, any tons of aggressors in the skin. And we like to say it's time to double down with cleansing. There's too much going on, too many increasing levels of pollutants. The body is taking on such a huge body burden with toxins, and a single cleanse is no longer enough. So we're recommending the balm in combination with the micellar, because the micellar's other benefits, which I didn't talk about before, are huge support for the microbiome toning. So bringing the skin into the correct pH and preparing it for additional steps, that whether it's from our line or anyone else's line. So the micellar is completely liquid. It's an olive leaf water base. And the balm, the new cleansing balm, has the triple texture technology. So really it's sort of like doubling down on cleansing, but then also a double or nothing attitude toward how can we shift what's happening in our environment, in our climate, in our, in poverty levels, in like the entire spectrum of all the problems in the world, leveraging our personal choices in skincare or any other category to support the businesses that are leading the way and pioneering these ideas of regeneration, of not just doing no harm, but how can we really take things to the next level and create more and better in the world through whatever we may be doing.
Very, very cool. Well, I'm excited to try that for sure. So what was one of the biggest challenges you faced when you launched? I mean, you're a serial entrepreneur, so you definitely had, this was not your first rodeo, and you had lived around entrepreneurs. But would you say that there was like a big challenge that you faced? Had you ever done a company with a co-founder?
No, it was the first time. I'd always been solo. Yeah. That is definitely a great example of, you know, some of all parts are greater than any individual thing. There's a saying for that. I forget what it is, but certainly the different ideas that we've been able to bring together, I think we're really kind of amazingly graceful at navigating and like wanting to see the best and like stop and pause and be like, okay, this is different than what I'm thinking, but why and how can it be better? And sort of that evolution of ideas and concepts and really having great respect for each other's experiences and position and all of that. I wouldn't call that the number one problem by any stretch. I think it's customer awareness. I think it's the same in every business. It's how do you find a way to communicate with people who are going to care and then turn around and support that idea with their shopping habits, finding them, customer acquisition. It's who are they, first of all? Because that's what, right, like audience identification and really understanding who is this customer who's aligned with our values and loves our products for what they are and, you know, will come back and will share with their friends. So going through the process of identifying who that customer is has certainly been a challenge. It was a challenge in the beginning, and it continues to be a challenge to find them, which is why opportunities like this, you know, the graciousness of you bringing me onto this podcast to be able to share these stories, that's what makes the biggest difference. So thank you.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think just getting the word out about it, and I'm such a huge believer in actually telling your why and your story, because that is what people remember. I always use myself as an example that I'm terrible with names and even brand names. I'll be like, you know, it looks like that in the bottle. And yeah. I'm very visual and very descriptive, but I forget names and as they go. And anyway, I feel like I never forget stories though.
And yeah, neither do I.
That is, yeah. And I think that that's a really powerful thing. And I think that whether you're getting press through a magazine or through a newspaper or doing podcasts, I mean, people are getting information from all over the place or social media or whatever it is. And so I think the stories really kind of sit with people and bring a lot of trust too. I think people just, a lot of people don't, you know, read ingredients. They have a hard time seeing the ingredients or understanding ingredients. So I think the more that you kind of share your example of why you did something and where it comes from, I think it's a power, it's a super powerful thing. So for sure.
And, but you're making me want to share the genesis of the farm, actually.
Yeah. Go for it. I'd love to hear more.
It's this longer format, right? I guess to your original question, like, what are the challenges? What we know is that there's so much complexity and depth and so many layers to our story and our heritage and that legacy that comes from generations before us, that podcasts and long format media, these storytelling opportunities are really the best. So it just gives me chills every time. I will do the short version, but Agatha's husband is Steve Luzzo. And he has Sicilian roots. It's his Nona, who came from Sicily, and they had to leave for economic reasons early in life. So as Steve was growing up as a little boy, she would tell him all these incredible tales about Sicily and this place where she grew up. And he could see and feel how she missed it and wanted to understand the love and passion that she had for this land, and made her a promise when he was a little boy, Nona, someday I'm going to go find that land for you and I'm going to buy it back. And he did it. He and Agatha went. They did it. They went to Sicily and they found it. It was this quarter acre parcel that had the rubble of the foundation of the home she'd grown up in. And, you know, to even find like who lived where in a place like this, in Sicily, rural, backcountry, middle of the island, to work with the churches, like who keeps the records, right? Like there's such an investigative process that they had to go through, and they did it. And at the time looked around and saw that there was still poverty there. There was still, you know, children who needed to be educated, families that wanted to get married but couldn't afford to, children who were leaving to go send money back, like incredible cases of struggle and strife. And so he and Agatha made a commitment to each other and to the people and the place that they would regenerate that. And that's what they've done. They've had, you know, brought incredible people who all have different skill sets in different areas, but it all comes down to this promise that we're going to create good in the world, and we're going to see our promises, keep good with our commitments. Like there's so much love and value and things that are worthy of pursuing that come from that genesis, you know, generations ago. And to be able to play a role in bringing that forward, especially now with what's going on for us with wars and the economic climate and the fear that people have and the fighting that's going on. Like let's bring some love into the world.
I love it. And I can see how that story would bring you in, right? And to wanting to do something that, you know, had meaning and plus was a great product on top of it. So the beauty industry today has access to technology that is, you know, not what it was way back when, even when your dad was launching his company. Can you tell us about some of the cutting edge technology that you're using? I was fascinated by some of that conversation too, because people think the beauty industry just put a few things together and then sell them to people. And I feel like there really is some science behind many of the best products, even though they look simple and they're not as many ingredients, all of those things, but there definitely is some technology behind it. I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, you bet. I will say that the vast majority of products out there really are pretty simple. And it is, you know, there are extraordinary companies, some of whom we've interviewed on this on this podcast who are really truly pushing the envelope and the boundaries and doing different things. When it comes to Fortuna Skin and the technology that we're bringing to the forefront, some of it is our own and some of it is really pulling in from other industries. So probably the best example I could give you is our sound bath extraction method. So when you start with these incredibly potent plants, you then need to turn them into raw materials that can be used to formulate skincare. And the process that we're using is it's an ultrasound technology that we actually found in the pharmaceutical industry. So we haven't, we're not using the same methods of processing ingredients as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And what that means with sound bath and with sound waves is that we can use low heat, essentially very no heat, protect the potency, right? Everything's going to come back to protect the potency because in the end, that's what drives the skincare results. And our entire goal is to create products that deliver on their promises and that drive fantastic results for our skin and our longevity and our health. So by using ultrasound, we're not having to introduce any solvents. Our solvents, the chemistry language of that solvents, is our olive oil. And then our olive leaf water, hydroglycerin infusion. So you take, imagine a giant stainless steel vat, you put these whole plants in. Whole plant nutrition is a very important aspect. There's synergy in different nutritional levels and ratios of vitamins and minerals and micro and macronutrients, all these things. The plants kind of have that figured out, right? They've been around a lot longer than us. You have magnolia oil, 100 million years. they've figured out how to survive. And so we want to protect those ratios, protect the potency, and we're able to accomplish that by using our sound bath extraction method. And then all of those raw materials go to Milan where the final goods are made. So that's a really cool one. Another thing that I think is incredibly cool is we're participating in the conversations around biohacking and genetic shifts in the body. So you've got fundamentally kind of this 40-60 ratio that most people at this point agree, like, okay, 60% of how you will age and how your body will degrade over time is genetic. The other 40% is extrinsic. What, you know, what's your environment? What are your stress levels? What are you eating? How much are you sleeping? Kind of all the things you expect. Are you keeping good routines? Are you using high quality products or consuming high quality foods? What have you? So historically, there's been this idea like, all right, we can tackle 40% of the aging question. But in fact, we're learning through modern technologies, science, biohacking, studies coming out of, for example, Yale and Harvard, that when you consume olive oil, as long as it's high-grade olive oil, it actually enhances telomere length. And telomeres are the covers on our genetic strands that allow the body to replicate its code without degradation. So if we're protecting the telomeres, we're protecting our body's genetic language, essentially, ability to replicate. And it's genes that are connected to things like hydration, elasticity. So for example, if you were to say you have super dry skin, you're drinking tons of water, you're using super hydrating products, but your skin just isn't staying hydrated. Why? Well, the answer to that is because our genes aren't working properly. The cells aren't activated in a way where they can accept and then hold on to and utilize that moisture. It's a genetic break. And so olive oil is able to help restore some of those replication mechanisms that allow for things like skin elasticity, hydration, ability to defend itself against free radical damage. It's helping address those things. So we're able to not only work with the body internally and topically, also through the way we ask people to think about things like how they're applying their products, the methods we're using, all the different modalities of health from massage to meditation can be incorporated and educated about through how and when we use our skincare. Even things like chrononutrition.
Yeah, no, it's so fascinating. And so, so just using your example, it's not just about, I mean, I guess if somebody has super dry skin, it's not just about putting it on the skin, but you're also suggesting that they should ingest more olive oil as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then the bioavailability of that topically is very important and helpful as well. So it's an entire ecosystem. And this is really how we're able to identify what regenerative beauty is. It's taking the sum of all parts and making everything work together and work better through our choices and our habits.
That's amazing. Well, I love that story. So you've raised capital for Fortuna.
Oh, yeah.
congratulations. How has that process been for you?
It's been amazing. I've raised capital and helped raise capital for many, many companies at this point. It's something that I love doing, actually. I feel good about doing it because I know that in all cases, we've been trying to create something and build something that people want to see in the world. And raising capital is what makes that possible. And it also is what allows the people who have capital to fulfill some of their dreams. It's an entire ecosystem. And in particular for Fortuna Skin, I so deeply believe in what we're doing and how it can improve the future in so many ways and stand as an example for other brands, hopefully to pay attention to and look at and realize like, oh, we can make great products. Oh, we can have a sustainable business. And I don't only mean environmentally sustainable, I'm financially stable too. So it's really fun. It's really fun to speak with these people who decide that they want to be part of the team too, really. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what they're doing. They're signing up to be part of the team. And I do love to grow a team.
Totally. I noticed you share an investor with Hint, Gingerbread Capital. So Linnea.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
She's so fabulous. So,
she's so terrific. So any words of advice to others who are going through the process?
Of fundraising.
Yeah, for fundraising. I mean, is there anything that you would suggest to people to make sure that they have the following ready? When they're out pitching.
You bet. Know your numbers. Yeah. I've seen it happen so many times that people walk into meetings and the investors will say, so what do you know, how much revenue are you expecting to generate next quarter? And they'll just draw a blank.
No idea. What's your margins?
Yeah. You gotta know the numbers. It's not necessary for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's not the natural thing, right? It's that we have to exercise discipline and go through some hard knocks and have experience or what have you to actually really pay attention to that. I think for so many entrepreneurs, it's about the vision and driving forward and bringing people into the idea. And it's not as easy for a lot of people to pay attention to the infrastructure that really at the end of the day is supporting that idea and its potential to exist and to grow in the world. So that would be for anybody who doesn't really know their numbers, that would be my best advice.
Yeah. And even if you have somebody who is the CFO or head of finance or more the finance side of it, I totally agree. You still have to really understand, especially in the early days, every single aspect of the business. And I'm convinced that even if you're, don't have that side of the brain that you've been working on, none of it is that hard. You just have to focus on really understanding how to explain it.
Especially discipline. If you're gonna be
in. Totally. So what is the thing that you're most proud of in building Fortuna?
Ooh. Wow. That's a hard question.
lots of good stuff.
I mean, it is. It's so many good things and so many incredible people. And I think probably I'm very people focused. I'm extremely people focused. You know, it's all about the drive that people have and what they can bring to the world and how they're being fulfilled by their activities. Because when people are fulfilled by their work, they're intrinsically motivated. And I think what we are all motivated to do is create extraordinary products that work, really. And so the products themselves, the quality of those products, the fact that in recent research that we were doing for our most devoted customers, the people who come back frequently, spend a lot of money with us, those things, I wanted to understand them at the core level as much as is possible. And the most wonderful thing that I learned was that our most loyal customer base are the most knowledgeable people about skin and skincare. They're not necessarily professionals. We do have a really important and lovely and meaningful professional base, but I'm talking about the girlfriend in the group who everybody goes to be like, oh, my skin's a mess. What do I need? Or, oh, I just heard about this brand. What do you think? Like, they're the thought leaders amongst their friends and families, and they've chosen us. I think that's just the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely amazing. I mean, and I think what you're talking about too is what you've done for consumers. So because I think that when they come to you and talk to you about their product too, and or about your product and how it's helping them, I mean, that's a really, really powerful thing. And I always share that if you don't have that customer feedback loop built into your product, your company, then you're really missing out, because it's that's where you gain so much inspiration.
It couldn't be more true. And I, in this research that I'm telling you about, I gave them all my cell phone number, sent out an email. I was like, please call me, find me on Instagram. Let's have a conversation. And the feedback that we've gotten has shifted the business. It absolutely, what these group of people have shared with us, what they care about, what they don't, why they're mad at us, why they love us. Like, this information has meaningfully shifted the course of this business. Not only things like, you know, where will we go to distribute next, but who, how will we advertise, and what education and information will we bring to the table? What features and benefits might our next product have? Like, they have had a huge impact on our choices, never out of alignment with the vision, of course. You know, that has to always be rock steady, the integrity of the business and the ideas. But within that framework, they have very meaningfully impacted our choices. And I am so grateful to them for what they've given us.
I love that response. So what's the best advice? This is my last question, by the way. What's the best advice that you've ever received?
Oh my goodness. I actually collect quotes. When people tell me things at different times in my life, they'll give me advice, and often it'll come in the form of a quote. And either it's quotable from them, or they're recounting a quote that has been influential to them. And I collect them, actually. It started many, many years ago, but this woman wrote down this message to me on a piece of paper. She tore it off an envelope from her purse. And since then, when somebody does something like that, I ask them to write it down, and on whatever they can find. There was an entrepreneur I met not so long ago. All we could find was a cocktail napkin. She wrote it on a cocktail napkin. So they're really, like, my head is filled with really valuable.
I love that.
I should put those up and share them. I really should.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Anybody could benefit from them. I'm struggling to give you a single answer because there's just so much good advice in the world. I think it comes down to, you know, when you feel like this idea, when you feel like it's really time to give up, don't do it. Like, just that time when it's the hardest is when it's just the wind's right on the other side. It's right there. So when it gets the hardest, dig in and go harder.
Thank you so much, Kim. That was awesome. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my book, Undaunted, which I share my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And thanks everyone for listening. Have a great rest of the week and 2023, and goodbye for now. Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.